Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show on WLVL, presented by Destination Niagara USA. To be a part of today's show, call in anytime, 716-433-1433.
That's right. You are joining us here. Today is August 2nd. And we are joined by our very own Frank Campbell, who is the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA. Good morning, Frank. It's been quite an active morning. We've had all kinds of fun and things going on here. How are you? Tell me about your fine self.
I'm doing well. You know, I'm not going to lie. It is National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. And, well, in between shows, we took part in a little bit of a sampling of an ice cream sandwich. So breakfast ice cream sandwich, not a bad day to
start.
And
you did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Here I am at the end of Tradio, and here comes Frank and John and up to the big window, the big studio here, the control center, filling their face with ice cream sandwiches as I sit here and drooled on myself. But in Frank's defense, he saved me one, and it was delicious. So, yes, it's National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. I strongly recommend that everyone partake in that. So welcome to the world's greatest outdoor show. We're going to be talking about a lot of things today, mostly fishing things, I think, most likely. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't be afraid to give us a call at 433-1433. Give Frank a piece of your mind. Tell him about your fishing experiences and what you've been going on here around the Niagara County area. So, Frank, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a busy time of the year on local waterways. Salmon fishing is starting to really heat up. Fish are starting to put on their feed bags for the fall. It's a typical time of the year where they're starting to school up, starting to stage up. Staging should occur in the next couple weeks, and we should be on our way to a good late summer, early fall salmon fishery. The steelhead fishing's been phenomenal out deep. There's been some big steelhead caught. Looking at some brown trout in Titer out in Lake Ontario. The lake trout are starting to show up. There's some big cohos mixed in, which is always a big bonus at this time of the year. Uh-huh. As long as the weather's been stable, the fishing's been good in the big lake.
Wow. And we have a call already. Good morning. You are on the air with Frank Campbell in the world's greatest outdoor show. What's your thought or comment?
Well, I'm frankly a little perturbed. I know that the push is to get people out on the lake and catch salmon and whales and everything else, but no one ever mentions the fact that we've got the longest free accessible fishery in the whole United States right here in Lockport with the canal. You know, if you want to take your kid out and introduce them to fishing, you certainly aren't going to go up to Olcott and get a charter boat and go out in the middle of the lake. I mean, you know, you can sit on the bank of the canal, which is free to everybody. You can walk the whole thing to Albany, and you can fish the whole thing. And there are fish in the canal. People, I catch them all the time.
Yeah, we agree. As a matter of fact, I think last week we had a couple canal calls and talked to callers about the opportunities that the canal offers, from shore, from boats, wherever it may be. There's a great diversity of fish, and it's an excellent area to start out fishing. As a matter of fact, I think on the Outdoor Beat a couple weeks ago with Bill Hills' grandson, we mentioned the canal and in that it had a derby going on the previous weekend and, a lot of participation. So, yeah, we agree 100% that the canal is an excellent opportunity, not only to introduce kids, but also for, fishermen and fisherwomen in themselves. There's an excellent opportunity.
You know, the whole idea, I would think, I keep reading in The Conservationist and other New York publications how we want to get kids interested in fishing. where are you going to do that? You certainly aren't going to do that in Lake Ontario. Come on, let's be sensible about this thing. You know, you can give a kid the old fashioned cane pole, string and a hook, and a can of worms, and he's in business sitting on the bank in the canal.
Sure. The canal. I mean, any public waterways. You know, excellent opportunity. Anywhere you can get a kid out fishing is a good place.
But it's the longest free, accessible. You know, anybody can. 30 feet of my backyard belongs to the state of New York, on the bank of the canal.
Sure.
And unfortunately, idiots every once in a while decide it's a good place to run a motorcycle. But you know, that's available to you. So all you got to do is bring your kid. Sit out there. I can't chase you away or put my dog on you or anything. You know, it's yours. It belongs to you. The other day I walked out there with a fly rod and on the third cast caught about a 12-inch smallmouth.
Nice.
So, you know, they're in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's smallmouth. There's walleye. There's pike. There's, you know, a good number of catfish. There's a bunch of panfish. Yeah, I agree with you 100% that the
well, I would like to, you know, mention that more often.
Yeah, sure. Right. No, we appreciate it. And appreciate
thank you very
the call.
Much.
Yeah,
all right, thanks,
you,
caller. Very good. And he's right there. There's a lot of good fishing going on there.
Excellent point. And there's a lot of opportunity to access it. A lot of access points. You know, I've had actually a media visit last year where we keyed in on the canal for kayaking and shore fishing, and actually caught some very, very, very nice smallmouth. It was
nice.
It was awesome.
Nice. Hey, I think we got Bill on the line.
Oh.
Oh. Good morning. Is this Mr. William Hiltz Jr. by chance?
Yes, it is.
Ha ha. Good morning. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're just probably having too much fun over here at the station, probably more than is allowed by law, but I won't tell if you won't tell.
I think it's the second greatest outdoor show that you guys are involved
in. Oh. Oh,
the first one couldn't be the one that you had, could it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I will say that, you know, in dealing with your grandson Parker, I would give him the world's greatest outdoor show, but I don't know about you, Bill.
Actually, Parker's with me right now. We're just getting ready to fish the Willowbrook Golf Course. I can't tell you exactly where because it's a secret spot. But we're going to do a little fishing this morning and take advantage of the cool weather.
Nice, nice. Now, what are you expecting to catch this morning?
Well, the last time we were here, he was catching largemouth bass. So that's going to be his primary target, but there are some panfish in there, too.
Now, just to allude to, we just got a call from a gentleman that was talking about the canal. I know that on the show prior, Parker said that that's one of his favorite places to fish, and he recommended it for young people starting out fishing was the canal right here in the Lockport area. Is that am I accurate with that statement, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's Parker's favorite spot to fish, primarily because it's easily accessible. And we go down to wide waters quite often. The locks right below the city of Lockport is a popular area. Any of the bridges along the canal usually hold some fish just because there's some structure there and protected a little bit from the sun. So those are all good starting points. And the guy's right that, you know, it's a huge free area that people can fish. You know, they have to learn it a little bit, you know, so you want people to be able to catch fish while they're doing it. So, you know, using live bait like worms or minnows is usually a good start. Now, Parker likes to cast lures, and he's done very well with that approach. But, you know, his biggest fish is a channel catfish that he caught on a piece of pepperoni. So, you know,
out of your
you
pocket?
Never know what you're going to catch in there. That's one of the benefits of the canal fishery. And it can be a lot of fun for the whole family.
Now, a couple things just to comment on that. Number one was the piece of pepperoni out of your pocket. Did he steal it? And
yeah, I saw the grease spot.
And number two, I do recall in interviewing Parker on the Outdoor Beat that he did say that he gave you as being a better fisherman than he. Do you remember why?
Yeah, because I've been around a little bit longer than he
has. He said you've been around a long time.
I do have to disagree with that gentleman, though, about getting somebody started in Lake Ontario. Because, you know, where we live here, between Lake Ontario, the Niagara River, Lake Erie, all the different inland lakes and ponds, you know, Bond Lake is as one instance. These are all excellent fisheries to be able to get someone started. And, you know, I met a 12-year-old that caught the youth biggest salmon on Sunday at the Lock Derby Award Ceremony. And he'd been fishing for 3 years with his dad and his twin brother, and very well spoken, very in tune with fishing. And they started at an earlier age, but it's a family bonding experience for them. And it makes me hopeful for the future when you see young kids like him and my grandson Parker, people that are really into fishing and willing to share information with other people. Their target is Lake Ontario. That's where they fish. And it could be the same for somebody else. It's just what that gentleman said was the free access for the Erie Canal. Well, Lake Ontario is free, too.
Yeah.
You know, all the different tributaries that come off of Lake Ontario. Parker and I, we were fishing with a friend, Wade Rocliffe, and we were fishing the Genesee River catching walleye last week. So all these tributaries also have some great fisheries that are available, and it doesn't take a lot to be able to take advantage of these. We fish down in the town of Newfane Marina quite frequently. We were fishing at Burke Dam last weekend, you know, we try to move around and try different waters and try to catch different kinds of fish. So you know, that's part of the fun of it, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think one thing, the moral of the story is getting kids started is the important thing. Where it is really is a secondary. And, you know, I agree with the gentleman. The canal is undervalued sometimes, but it's a great option. And as you pointed out, there's a lot of great options here in Niagara County. I think that was brought to light for myself when we had visitors from England over here, and they were asking us where they had to pay to fish all these areas. And we were like, no, they're public access. It's free. And they're like, oh, that's not how it is in England. You know, so that teaches us that we should really value these opportunities a little bit more. And, you know, free access isn't a guarantee, but it's a pretty nice, you know, option, no doubt about it.
I think we really miss Steve Harrington and the fact that he ran that Erie Canal Fishing Derby for so many years. And his wife tried to continue that, and it's been difficult with the whole COVID thing, the pandemic. And as a result, we haven't had the focus on the Erie Canal Derby. We haven't had the focus on fishing in the canal and all the different species that are available. And that special event alone has taken away a lot of the focus of the Erie Canal. And we need somebody to start one up again, Frank.
Yeah, Bill. No, I mean, ultimately, I think for everything we have, it hurts some of the other areas, and the canal probably is, you know, one of the areas that is left out a lot of times because there is such great fishing in other areas. But don't undersell the canal. I mean, as you said, it's Parker's favorite place. There's a lot of nice channel cat that are caught in there. There's guys that consistently catch walleye and big pike. It's just a matter of learning it a little bit, like you said, and knowing where to go. And, you know, maybe we need to some people to report on it a little bit more. You know, the canal fishing's getting good, and this is how I did it. So we can get the word out and spread the word, you know, in an accurate manner.
So I think that's a good segue into the Greater Niagara Fish Odyssey Derby that's going to be coming up August 19th through the 28th. And the fact that the Erie Canal is eligible waters in Niagara, Erie, and Orleans counties. Yep. And the fact that there are seven different categories for the kids as well as the adults, but the kids can fish in the canal and enter fish because of the Fishing Chaos app. You're just based on length. You use your smartphone. And it's a great way to get the family involved. So, you know, I think that you need to think of the Erie Canal as one of your locations that you can target and take advantage of it. FishOdyssey.net is the website that you can go to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent opportunity. It's free for kids. We want to point out that, you know, if you don't need a license as a you know, a child that's under the age of 16, it's free to get into the Derby, although you can enter as an adult in the adult division if you're, I believe, 12 to 16 or 15. But, you know, it's a free event for kids. Pretty much have to have a ruler, a commercial-made ruler. But other than that, you know, you could go dig up the worms from the backyard, throw a hook on there and see what you come up with. And there's categories that fit, you know, that exact canal fishery, or for that matter, just about any fishery in Niagara County. You know, as long as it's public waterways, public access, you know, it's an eligible, you know, fishing spot for the kids. So, you know, there's really no reason why you can't take advantage of it.
Sure.
No
and,
doubt.
And real quick, because Parker's giving me a kick in the back of the seat here, saying, let's go fishing, Grandpa. I just wanted to mention that this coming Friday is going to be the first annual Real Impact Fishing Tournament. It's being run by Captain Ned Leibrock with his Catching Dreams program that he has, taking kids with cancer fishing, and also the Punt Pediatric Cancer Collaborative. And that's one where Dawson Knox with the Buffalo Bills is one of the spokespersons. And that's going to be taking place in the Lower Niagara River on Friday. And it's all about getting people out there fishing to raise funds for these worthy causes. And we're really looking forward to it. Hope the weather cooperates.
Yeah, no, I agree, Bill. You know, excellent opportunity. And as we said, you know, it's raising funds. It's the inaugural event where, you know, hopefully it's going to be an annual thing. And basically they've secured sponsors to come out and sponsor these boats. And the captains are, you know, taking them out in a safe manner and, you know, with their expertise, catching some fish, having a good time, but at the same time raising some money for some future trips for these kids with pediatric cancer or, you know, for the Punt Foundation. So two excellent organizations which are going to benefit from, you know, a day on the lower river. So kudos to...
And then finally, I want to give that Reeling for a Cure a plug that Stephanie Pirlioni puts together with her staff of volunteers. And that's going to be coming up on August 19th. You know, you talk about getting kids involved with fishing, but this is getting ladies involved with fishing. And it's a great event. And she has between 200 and 300 ladies that are usually participating. Last year they had something like 40 teams that were part of this Reeling for a Cure. They're all fishing out on Lake Ontario, and they have teams that are competing for some prizes, but at the same time they're raising funds for some type of needy cancer initiative. And if you want to participate, Stephanie Pirlioni's number is
481-6388. Yeah, it's actually the beneficiary this year is going to be the Ovarian Cancer Project here in Western New York. I think Stephanie likes to pick out smaller non-for-profits that don't maybe get the limelight or maybe get the funding that, you know, some of the other organizations get. And, you know, not that they're all not worthy. It's just a great a great event for a great cause, and Stephanie runs a top-notch program over there with the help of her staff, and kudos to the captains. I mean, a lot of these captains are coming from far and abroad to take the teams of women out fishing and give them an opportunity to introduce them to Lake Ontario, but also catch some salmon and win some prizes and have a good time. And a lot of these teams, or the women on these teams, have some type of connection to cancer, be it breast cancer or some of the others that afflict women. I've talked to a few of them, and it's a great day for them. Just a great cause. And as I said, Stephanie runs a top-notch event out of Alcott that day.
No doubt. So I'm going fishing.
You're going fishing. All right. Well, we know Parker will catch something. I don't know about Bill, but
that's all that matters.
I agree, Bill. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Bill.
You can get fake news anywhere. Get Fox News here, Niagara County's information station.
WLVL, Lock Point.
You can get fake news anywhere. Get Fox News here, Niagara County's information station.
WLVL, Lock Point.
All right, welcome back. You were listening to the world's greatest outdoor show. Some people would say it's the world's second greatest outdoor show. But who am I to say? We're going to lean towards the greatest because it's me and Frank.
That's right.
Of course, Frank Campbell from the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA is with us here on Ask the Pro. He's going to be with us here until 10 o'clock, and we have yet another call. Good morning, caller. How are you this morning? What's your...
Good morning. I'd like to know, what happened to all the blue pike out on Lake Ontario? Is there any left, or what's going on?
Well, I believe that they've been labeled as extinct by the DEC. There's a lot of different theories out there, but probably the theory that I would hold to most was that they were over-harvested. Over-harvested to the point where, I know a lot of guys would go out and commercially fish them. It was commercially fished by the netters, and then also the recreational anglers turned into commercial fishermen that they sold to the restaurants. But you'd have to believe that in addition to being over-harvested, because I guess they were the top-of-the-line eating. It was a little before my time out there fishing. But, they actually ate better than the walleyes. The guys that I talked to, the older guys, told me that they'd throw the walleye back because the blue pike were a lot better eating. So a lot of nights you saw, the lanterns lit up and the blue pike would be in feeding, and then they would get bushel barrels full of them. So, probably a combination of over-harvesting and a change in the environment that they lived in. And they've actually had some samples of blue pike DNA that a guy had frozen in his fridge for or freezer for upteen number of years, and so they do have the DNA, and they have not been able to match that DNA to anything that's come in recent years. They've had some fish that were suspected blue pike from up in Quebec and up in Ontario, but they were just a blue phase of a walleye, so a true different DNA from walleye. And I don't think we'll ever see them. I think they went the way of the dinosaur, and just a sad story, because it was really, really a great number of fish. Were you able to partake in the blue pike back then?
He can't answer because he hung up right after he asked the question.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, ultimately, I think they're gone. I don't think we're going to see them again. It's unfortunate. It's an answer that we'll probably never 100% understand or get to the fact as why they're not here anymore. They used to be a number in the millions. It just goes to prove that, some of the things we do aren't always the best when it comes to, the outdoors and nature. It's a shame. You'd like to see those fish around, but, there's plenty of other fish out there, and, hopefully it won't be repeated with any of these other species.
Well, it seems like the DEC, is that right?
Yep, Department of Environmental Conservation.
They're doing a good job of making sure that fish are getting stocked, and the popular ones are getting put into the lake so that we can keep enjoying our recreational fishing.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit before the days of the regulations, mm-hmm. you know, that were put into place to, you know, limit numbers of fish and size of fish being taken. But also back then, I think that there was a lot of pollution going on. I mean, you had rivers catching fire up in Ohio, you know, that are right off Lake Erie. So it was the same time frame. Mm-hmm. And pollution could have been a factor in there to maybe, you know, eradicated their spawning areas or, you know, made them sterile. I mean, we really don't know 100% what went on to the blue pike. But as you said, it's a good thing the DEC has stepped up and taken charge. And we have rules and regulations, which actually another thing, pretty soon the DEC is going to be launching an app where you're going to be able to get an app to update all your rules and regulations and also a fishing license. It's in the near future. So keep an eye out for that.
Ooh, get your fishing license from an app.
Yeah, yeah, and then you would be able to have it on your app and, you know, access, you know, hey, I'm fishing, you know, Cuga Creek, you know, what are the regulations for steelhead or whatever it may be,
and right.
they're right at your fingertips. So
yeah, cover your app.
Yeah, it's actually a good thing because year after year they put all these regulations on paper and then they change, and the, you know, the paper book version wasn't updated and people were looking at it and it was wrong and the changes have been made. Well, now they'll be able to do it online and then changes will be updated. So it's a good thing.
That's right. Because ignorance of the law is still no excuse.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
No doubt about it or else everyone would plead it, right?
That's right. When the man comes down and says, son, what you got in that fishing bucket of yours, you can know for sure.
Yeah.
That it's within the boundaries of the law. So, folks, you can still give us a call at 433-1433. We are speaking with Frank Campbell, who is the
Sport Fishing Coordinator for Niagara County and also the Outdoor Promotions Director at Destination Niagara USA. Those are two long titles. I'm feeling pretty important right
What's
now.
Your business card look like? Do you have, like, one of those business cards that's, like, 6 inches
it's
long?
It's actually a page.
It's
you know,
a page.
It's actually an 8x11 card that I have to hand out.
Yeah.
No. It's, it all fits. And, you know, it's just two organizations that have come together to, you know, let me get the word out to everybody about the importance of sport fishing here in Niagara County, which is, you know, at the last economic impact study was a $30 million impact. Nice thing is we do have another economic impact study on the horizon. Looks like we're going to be going with the company out of California that specializes in that. So we're going to find out what the sport fishing truly is worth to Niagara County. But we're also going to be able to answer some questions on this economic impact study. We're going to be able to answer things like overall economic impact of sport fishing. We're going to be able to, you know, put a value on the importance of derbies and tournaments. You know, should we be promoting them more? Should we be running more? I mean, those are the type of things that are going to be answered. So it's all good stuff.
Right on. And we have yet another call. Good morning, caller. You are on WLVL with Frank Campbell.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Good morning.
Frank, as a new piece of huge structure, do you have any feedback on the Alcott breakwall?
Yeah, I've actually heard some pretty positive, you know, comments on it. Basically, in my opinion, it's going to be a, you know, an attraction. No doubt about it. It's going to attract the gobies, which are at the bottom of the food chain in a lot of cases. There's going to be a lot of big bass. I mean, the boats in the harbor are jumping for joy because they're not getting beat up by the north winds that come through, and you know, it spurred on some economic development down there. I have heard some negatives about the wall and the fact that you know, it's a little harder getting access to the water. You know, I guess you got to weigh them out and see what's really going to happen. It'll be interesting to see when the guys get out there this fall and do a little bit of salmon fishing. But overall, I think that it's, you know, going to have a positive impact on the fishing. The accessibility of the fishing is going to be, you know, a little bit in question, and hopefully they can rectify that if there is a problem.
So you think the smallmouth will be attracted to it as late in the fall? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I think the smallmouth will use it. I think, you know, the trout will use it. I don't think that you're going to have any negative impacts on the fishing from that. As a matter of fact, I know guys that are catching smallmouth around it right now. You know, so it's you know, it's out there in a little deeper water. The biggest thing is that it's going to attract the gobies, which are going to have the smallmouth, you know, absolutely all over it. And that's, you know, the nice thing is anytime that you attract something new, it's not going to have the zebra mussel incrustation, you know, immediately. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit nicer on the fish. So I think you're going to see actually more fish hoard around there. I think that they're going to use that as an ambush point, and you're going to see a lot more bait using it. And overall, it's just going to be a good thing. If you're a smallmouth fisherman, you should be salivating, you know, and I have heard some good reports about it or from it.
So you can't use gobies for bait, obviously.
No, you cannot use gobies for bait. No.
Just an imitation that looks like them?
Exactly, and there's several of them out there. Poor Boy makes one. Berkeley makes one in the Gulp line that are pretty close. And there's also some ones that are a little bit more expensive that are, you know, have inside weights and inside hooks that do a great job. Storm makes one that do a great job imitating the goby. You know, and when the bass are feeding on them, it's hard to beat those imitations, and that's really what they're going to be keying on in there. You know, maybe a few crayfish, but definitely the gobies. The gobies will find that pretty quickly.
So it might be great in the fall, huh?
Yeah, I think that that's the perfect setup in the fall. You have a lot of bait fish. You have some deep water access, and you have a scenario, especially I would look for when the lake turns over, which happens more often during the fall. That warm water coming out of the creek right there will just, the smallmouth will just load up in there, in my opinion, and you'll be able to have a, you know, probably a day of a lifetime between the warm water and the rocks and the gobies. It's setting up the perfect scenario for, you know, an epic day of smallmouth fishing.
Awesome. Okay, thanks for the info.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good day. Yeah, so, I mean, as the gentleman, you know, was talking about the break wall in Alcott, you know, I've had some positive, I had some negative feedback, but I think it's a wait and see, especially for the fall salmon fishermen. You know, mm-hmm. There's been a little bit of negative feedback on, you know, the accessibility to getting down to the water line. But one thing that I know about fishermen is I know if there's a way that they can gain an advantage to catch fish, they're going to do it and they'll find a way. And, you know, hopefully it's not a dangerous situation, but a situation where, you know, it's going to create some better fishing. Someone will figure something out. They always do.
Always do. That's right.
Yep. Yep.
No question about that. So you brought up an interesting point, you know, the environmental factors that have changed over the last 40 years or so, you know, from the rivers catching on fire to some fairly clean waters now. What's the edibility of these fish?
Well, it's a great, great question. And, you know, one of the things that we have been really taunting, you know, out in Lake Ontario is the fact that our salmon fishing is good. But years ago, we were a little hesitant letting people, women in particular, and women of childbearing age and children, eat them because there was an advisory on it. Well, they've dropped that advisory. The lakes actually got clean enough. Now they're saying it's okay for women of childbearing age to eat salmon out of the Great Lakes or out of Lake Ontario specific. That's a big step from where we were. I mean, I don't know if it's just less chemicals going into water, more regulations and rules, you know, as far as discharges, you know, better sewage treatment. It could be the zebra mussels, which filter a liter of water a day per mussel, and there's zillions of them out there. You're getting that water cleaned up, you know, and it's the results are that the fish are a lot more edible and a lot safer to eat. So it's really come a long ways in that time frame since you know, the blue pike disappeared and, you know, the river caught on fire. We've really been going in the right direction. And, you know, again, kudos to the DEC and to the EPA, which have set standards for, you know, water safety. And it's not, you know, us doing the testing on these fish. It is the, you know, it is the EPA. It is the health departments that are testing these fish to make sure that they're, you know, safe to eat. And they're finding they are. So, you know, by all means, I have no problem telling people, you know, hey, there's no advisories on eating the fish, and I would say, you know, there are a lot more benefits than harm. You know, even when it was, you know, looked upon as, you know, one meal a month, still the benefits outweighed the risks, and the way that they were doing their studies was always in question. You know, you talk to some of the biologists or scientists off the record, and they would tell you, you were probably doing your body more harm drinking a Diet Pepsi than you were eating a Great Lakes salmon meal. So, you know, and now that they've lifted that, you know, I'm 100% confident you're doing your body a lot better harm, or you're doing your body a lot less harm by eating Great Lakes salmon than eating an ice cream sandwich that you ate this morning. So,
hey, let's leave the ice cream sandwiches out of this.
Yeah.
We could make an ice cream sandwich shaped like a fish, and that would be good.
Yeah, they actually have them. They actually have them as whales at Carvel.
Have I been leading a sheltered life all these years?
Yeah, well, you know what? I try to open people's eyes many different ways, including the ice cream sandwich world,
man,
and the ice cream cake world.
There's a whale-shaped ice cream sandwich at Carvel's.
Interestingly enough, bringing up the whale thing, I just saw videos, and again, they're on the internet. I'm not 100%, but there was a humpback whale somewhere that actually came up and inhaled two people on their kayaks and actually spit them out. It's there, and it's on the internet. I don't know if it's 100% true, but bringing up the whale point, I was like, you know, that triggered something to say, oh, my gosh, this is what happened to these two girls. And it was crazy. I mean, you know, I guess it's possible. We don't have to worry about in Lake Ontario, though. Although there are people that say that there are sharks in Lake Ontario to a small point, some bull sharks. And it's hypothetically possible, I guess. They could swim up to St. Lawrence and, you know, get through the gates and then out into Lake Ontario. And they live in fresh water. So I'm not saying it's impossible. I knew a guy. Oh, Beck, when we did a lot of charters, Eric Bickle used to say that he had a salmon on at one point, and it was bit in half by something out there, and he was 100% sure it was a bull shark, and he actually had the salmon that was bit in half. It was probably, you know, a double-digit salmon, you know, probably 10, 12 pounds that was bit right in half. These aren't made-up stories, so anything's possible, I guess, right?
I guess. Jeez. Well, how about Nessie?
Yeah, Nessie and Lockie and all sorts of stuff. I mean, there was once, you know, reports of just about everything in the lake. So,
well, it's funny, when I researched that, there was more reports on the Canadian side than there was on the American side.
Their beer's stronger.
That's what I'm thinking. Folks, we still got about 8 or 9 minutes left if you want to give a call in and talk to Frank Campbell about your fishing dreams, your fishing world. What's going on in your life as fishing goes? You know, and I got to pose the same question to you. We did it about the lake. What about the canal?
Yeah, the canal, actually, they're actually, you know, it's a similar scenario. I don't know that, you know, I haven't read the advisories on the canal, but I would be pretty confident eating some fish out of the canal. The canal has a lot of zebra mussels in it, and the water's cleaner than it's ever been. But remember, that water also gets flushed. That's Lake Erie water that's flowing through there. So, Lake Erie's always been thought of as a little cleaner body of water, you know, after it got, you know, cleaned up after the fires that they had on the Cuyahoga River. But, you know, I think overall, a lot of the waterways are a lot cleaner and the fish are a lot safer to eat. You know, it's just like anything else. Moderation's probably your best friend. And that's, you know, whether you're, you know, eating turkey or, you know, eating fish out of the local waterways. And the canal is, you know, as we talked earlier, is an excellent area to do some fishing. And they do have some very edible walleye out of there and things of that nature.
Wow, that's really good to know.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, just want to touch a little bit more on the Fish Odyssey.
Oh, let's do.
Yeah, it's coming up. And what we've done with the Fish Odyssey, which is the 19th to the 28th of August, we've changed it over to a fishing an app called Fishing Chaos, and you can actually access that app by going online and either going to fishodyssey.net, which is the website, or go to the Facebook page, which is Fish Odyssey. And coming up in the real near future, we're going to be announcing that we're having a contest Basically, we're not a contest, a giveaway. And what we're going to be doing is if you sign up for the Derby, so if you plan on signing up for the Derby, really take note of this. If you sign up for the Derby and you do it before the 17th of August, you are actually going to have the possibility of winning a cooler fishing package, which is loaded. And I'm telling you, it's loaded with fishing gear, everything from, fish grips to rulers to lures from Strike King to Sable to name it, plastics. It's basically valued at about $1,100. So, wow. You know, if you're going to sign up for the contest, I'd do it before the 17th and take advantage of it.
Absolutely. We have yet another caller. Good morning, caller. You are on WLVL with Frank Campbell and the world's greatest fishing show.
Hi, it's Joe Barrett. I'm the guy that wrote Ice Boom Theory. I was listening to you on the fishermen will find a way to get to the water.
Yes.
And, you know, there's like this series of problems. They shouldn't be problems. We should be proactive on them. You know, there should be somebody trying to figure out, well, what would the fishermen do? Let's make it legal. Let's not turn it into where somebody calls the cops and there's all this jurisdiction involved. The thing that here in the borderline, I live in Niagara County, but on the border of Erie County. And one of the things is like the launch ramps. You can't use a launch ramp unless you're a local resident and you buy the permit. And so right there is a huge impediment to somebody that wants to come up from Pennsylvania or Ohio and fish for a day because they've got out-of-state plates. And, you know, they don't have a clue where to go get one of these launch permits from for being a non-resident. And we turn away all these tourism dollars that could be coming into the area just by making it so difficult to access the waterfront. That's one big issue that I think should get addressed by whatever national or local organizations we have. The other one is the amount of law enforcement on the water is getting to the point of ridiculous of people getting pulled over, you know, two or three times in a day when they go out for, you know, safety checks and pre-checks. And people don't really want that. You know, if you go up to them and say, hey, could you check out my equipment and tell me if I'm in compliance? That would be fine. But I worked at the Gateway Harbor, and, you know, I would watch. Sometimes there'd be 10 or 12 different agencies in the marina. And that just makes people uncomfortable. You know, it's like you're going out on the Russian border, like you're trying to escape the country or something. And yet, if you have a boat problem, they won't tow you in anymore. They'll say, well, we'll call a tow truck for you. And people don't realize it, but to get towed into the dock, if you can see the dock from where you're at, it's like $500 to $600 to get towed in. So, and people don't, you know, they're not aware of that. You know, it used to be in the old days, you know, you have a line, you throw somebody your line and okay, I'll tow you in, you know, as a good neighbor type of thing. And law enforcement won't do it anymore. For whatever reason, I have no idea. The Coast Guard's kind of useless. I'm disappointed with their level of commitment to water safety. You know, they don't want to do anything. They always give you an excuse of why they can't do it. So,
yeah, I mean,
what do you say to that?
Well, you definitely bring up some valid points as far as the law enforcement on the water. Yeah, I hear that often, that there's a little bit more than what's needed. One thing that I've done is I've take the voluntary United States Coast Guard auxiliary. Basically, their pre-check and where they'll give you a safety check, and they give you a sticker, and that works sometimes. That'll keep them off you a little bit. The only problem is the state has different regulations than the U.S. Coast Guard does, so you actually have to ask them to give you a New York State inspection also. So that helps out, and you can actually find out where they're going to be. They're in different areas on different weekends, and they were just in Lewiston, as a matter of fact, last weekend, giving voluntary inspections, which is a nice option. As far as towing in, yes, I know that they, unless you're in a dangerous situation, they are not going to tow you in. The nice thing is there's usually another boater out there that will, you know, help you out. I've always towed people in because I've been in that scenario where I've needed towed here or there, you know. And I think that that's one thing that we really have to take care of each other as fellow boaters or fellow fishermen. You know, as far as the fees that they charge at the ramps, I think that, you know, and a lot of times they don't want to have it posted, you know, that you have to be a resident of those areas. I know several of the ramps, Hamburg being one of them, I believe, North Tonawanda.
Yeah, and yet, when you try to buy them, half the time all the parking spots are empty.
Yep.
You know, so, it's not like they're at capacity and, oh, we got to do something about it. There's no room for any more boats or trailers or tow vehicles. It just, you know, time after time, I'm continuously amazed how many times I'm on the river and I can't see another boat for as far as I can see.
Yeah,
and
well,
it's like, where is the tourism board to get people to come here? And it doesn't seem to be happening. I know gas is expensive. I know the economy's down and people don't have the fund money that they used to. But still, it's just, you would think there'd be a higher level of activity than what you see out there.
Yeah, times there are. We appreciate the call, Joe. I think we're running out of time.
Thanks.
But,
thanks,
you know,
Joe.
I always appreciate your input.
Yeah, sharp
Thank
guy.
Thank you much. Bye.
All right. Very sharp guy, Joe is. So, this is the second fastest 45 minutes of the day.
It's called, time flies when you're having fun, right, Eric?
That's right. Hey, listen, you got about 35 seconds to give me some closing thoughts here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good reasons to get out on the water in the next couple of weeks, you know, be it the Reeling for a Cure, the Fish Odyssey, the fall lock starts. You know, gas prices are up, but it's hard to put a value on having fun and just being outdoors, and it's an excellent opportunity to get the family out there. So go and enjoy the outdoors.
That's right. Folks, thank you so much for joining us with Frank Campbell. We're going to see you next time here on the world's greatest outdoor show. Stick around for Fox News.